You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Have you ever passed the corner of Fulton Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy.
Well, we'd like to dedicate that song, ladies and gentlemen, to Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A tonight, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. Hey, Keith, I have an email here that I would like to really feature. It comes from a listener in Texas, and he writes this. Mr. Edwards, as you can probably tell from my email, I was at one time a student at Texas A&M University. You may be unaware of the school's Confederate ties. Most out-of-staters are, but I'm glad to fill you in. A man by the name of Lawrence Sullivan Ross, or Sully, as he is called in College Station, was one of the youngest generals in all of the Confederate Army. He participated in over 135 battles defending his home state of Texas. As if this resume wasn't strong enough, Sully became governor of Texas after the war, a post he eventually resigned to become president of Texas A&M. As president, Ross is credited with saving the school from financial ruin. His tenure saw a large expansion in facilities, increased enrollment, as Texan men wanted their sons educated by their former commander, and increased state funding of the school. He was a personal tutor to many of the students of the school, refusing any payment besides, quote, a penny for their thoughts, end quote, which sparked the famous school tradition of placing a penny on his statue at the center of campus before taking a test for good luck. But our school is not at all the one he fought for. Ross was 75 years ahead of his time, advocating for separate but equal facilities. He is the man responsible for the creation of Prairie View A&M, Texas A&M's all-black equivalent, in addition to creating a school specifically for blind and deaf black people. None of this matters, though, to our black quarterback. Kellen Mond is using his position as the most famous, quote-unquote, student at Texas A&M to lead the charge on taking down the statue of Sully. A Confederate general is too racist to have a statue on a campus with an SEC football team. His mostly black teammates have taken to Twitter to support their leader as they attempt to destroy our school's proud heritage. With the response I have seen from most people has been surprisingly positive. There are still too many Southerners who would rather win a few football games than honor their ancestors, and that's really sad. You and I share the distinct honor of sharing Mississippi heritage. My grandparents on my dad's side are from Mississippi. It is one of my favorite places on earth. Recently, the Southeastern Conference has told Mississippi that if they don't change the state flag, there will be no SEC championship games played in the state. While I'm sure if anything will come of this, something needs to be done. Well, I'm not sure if anything will come of this. Something needs to be done about the influence of organized sports over our proud region. I admittedly love sports, as do many godly conservative white Southerners, but this madness must stop. College football was my favorite thing in the world during my middle school years, so it feels strange to say that I probably won't watch this year. Would love to hear Keith's take on what the non-white controlled sports industry has done to our society. Looking forward to throwing TPC on the radio tonight as my family travels this weekend. Keith, what a fantastic letter from our young listener in Texas. And I really appreciate you educating me and by extension educating our audience on the history of Lawrence Sullivan Ross and the founding of Texas A&M. What a fantastic heritage that institution has, Keith. But as we have seen in recent days, the attack on the Confederate flag by the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, in Mississippi, your alma mater, Ole Miss, your thoughts, your reaction to this young man's letter And what a guy. How proud I am to have this man as a member of our listening audience.
Well, you know, I'm glad that he educated me on the origins of the name Sully. That's a typical Southern male nickname. I grew up with a boy that lived down the street named Sully. Also, I imagine that this particular person, John Sullivan Ross, had something to do with the founding of another Texas institution of higher education, Sol Ross University. So, you know, he must have been quite a figure, and that's an important person whose statue definitely doesn't need to be taken down from Texas A&M. You know, I've had a dream. Like Martin Luther King had a dream, I had a dream. My dream is that suddenly we're going to wake up and maybe Kellen Mond and the people that think like him are going to all depart from the rosters of Southeastern Conference football. Then we could have all white teams like we did back in 1969. I've been watching a copy I have of the 1969 Ole Miss-Alabama game with Archie Manning versus Scott Hunter. 33-32 with Ole Miss driving. They lost, but driving certainly in for a touchdown at the very end of it, but the time ran out. The guy, Floyd Franks, couldn't get out of bounds. This is what we need. We need college football to return to what it was. It's not the minor leagues of the NFL, which is what you would think it is now. It is a way for us to achieve the Athenian ideal of a balanced man. A man who is good academically, artistically, and athletically, and spiritually. This is the old ideal of the South, and we need to return to it. We don't need to get people representing our colleges and universities whose presence on the campus, if they were not athletes, would be limited to the janitorial staff. This is what we need in America, and quite frankly, this may be the wonderful opportunity to do it. Let these black athletes overplay their hand and refuse to have their services. Then they would be off the campus. Nobody's going to pay them to be there. And then we can staff the football teams with students that happen to be good at football or basketball or whatever other sports they have. And we will not make an idol of football and basketball the way that we do now. And we'll have people that can identify with the student body like we used to in the old days. I remember those pep rallies back in the late 60s and whatnot. It was a different world. The University of Texas in 1969 was the last NCAA college football champion, Division I champion, that had an all-white team. So that's, you know, I'd be glad to turn the clock back. If Kellen Mond wants to help me do that, more power to him. Let's do that. Refuse to play, Kellen, and see if you can get your other teammates that think like you do to do the same thing, and maybe we can have a better athletic program at all of these colleges, one that the student body can be proud of, like they could back in the days of Archie Manning's team. Most of his fellow teammates went on to be insurance agents, lawyers, doctors, oil tycoons, city managers. Nowadays, if these people 10 years out aren't in prison, the guys you were cheering in the stands, you consider it a plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back. James Edwards and Keith Alexander the Great. You didn't know, did you?
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com. or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, people ask me, you know, how do you not get dejected? How could I get dejected? Listen, nothing's going to break my stride, as the song just sang. I'm thrilled to be alive. I'm thrilled to do the best that I can.
A happy warrior.
I have friends like Keith. I have a wife, a beautiful wife, barefoot and pregnant at home, waiting for me to get back there this evening. Two kids that love me.
Equally barefoot.
That's right. Wonderful support group, family, friends, listening audience. Listen, I wouldn't trade who I am and what I do for anyone else in the world. But you could know such truth, ladies and gentlemen, not you and our listening audience, because you and our listening audience, I think, by and large, probably almost to a man and a woman, understand what I'm talking about and live a similar life. But for everyone else out there, the confused, the forsaken, they too could know such life, but they have to embrace the truth and they have to embrace the risk that comes from knowing and acknowledging and acting on such truth. But Keith, and there is a lot of deceit out there in the world right now. We were talking, we spent the last segment really reading that article that we received from our listener in Texas and having you respond to it. The SEC, another story out of Division I men's football this week. The University of Florida, the Florida Gators, are going to ban their cheer called Gator Bait. Now, very quickly, without going into the story, Keith, can you explain what the Gator Bait chant is and how they...
Well, it's where they get their arms and they flap them together with their palms going down so that it will be like
a gator
an alligator
right.
Chomping down on something. But see, the idea that these black athletes that are privileged characters anyway, being paid much too much for what they're doing, like you say, they get paid millions of dollars eventually if they're good enough to go to the NFL or the NBA to play a child's game, and we're supposed to consider them not just good athletes but geniuses and arbiters of public taste and everything else. And it would really be wonderful if the white people of America that provide all the money look at the stands and compare it to the field. In the field, it's almost all black. Up in the stands, it's almost all white.
All right, and all that's true. All that's true, but it hasn't stopped the Ole Miss fans from continuing to go there, even though they banned the Christian cross, the Confederate flag. It hasn't stopped the NASCAR fans. Well, I guess we haven't had a NASCAR race yet.
What I'm arguing for is a new awakening.
But we got to get to the story, though, the story about the Florida Gators and how that's germane to what we're talking about. And by the way, folks, if it needs to be repeated, let me repeat it now. Never kneel. Never apologize. Never kneel.
And what I would say is take a counteroffensive on them. These don't support these athletic programs. If they have empty stands, that's where all the money comes from. That and the television. If they just had to get by on the television revenues, they couldn't make it.
Yeah, let them broadcast a game with no white fans in the stands and see how that looks. But here's the thing, what happened in Florida, they have discontinued their Gator Bait chant because an article came out this week, Keith, that stated that up until the early 1900s, it was widespread in the South that white Southerners would take black babies and use them to feed their alligators.
Now, what? Somebody's been smoking crack or
no,
something.
No. That's come out this week. Because of that, lie from the pit of hell. What are we going to hear next? Soap and lampshades? But no. Yeah. No. Whites up until the 1900s were using black babies as alligator bait. And so because of that, a report, the University of Florida is doing away with their Gator Bait chant because it brings back these memories for these blacks of their grandparents or whatever.
Well, then their grandparents are on crack too, because see, that nothing like that happened. It's like the like the Jewish propaganda in World War I about German soldiers throwing Belgian babies up in the air and for bayonet practice. They were, you know, something like that is so absurd, but nonetheless, nothing is too absurd that the white cucks that are in charge of society, in charge of these schools, in charge of these athletic programs, will not give them full credence and act upon them. For example, they want Ole Miss, or they want the state of Mississippi, to take the Confederate emblem, the rebel flag, off of their state flag. Well, and what's their if you don't, what's going to happen? We're not going to play championships in Mississippi. Well, guess what? They haven't played a championship in Mississippi in years. The two SEC teams in Mississippi are Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and they're usually down from the middle to the bottom of the Western Conference. So that is the most empty threat ever. You know, if they said they were going to prevent Alabama from doing it, that'd be a different matter.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, Alabama's a proud Confederate state. You know, all of these states have the Confederate ensign in their insignia. State of Florida. I mean, what do you think that is? that's the Celtic cross. Or rather, the cross of St. Andrews.
Same thing for Alabama. They have a St.
That's exactly
Andrews
all
cross
of
too.
That. They're all still – and Arkansas, all of it. But anyway, I wrote the book 10 years ago. It's the 10-year anniversary of Racism Schmacism. 10 years ago this June, this month, that book debuted. It is more timely than ever. And I'll tell you, if I did an updated version, there wouldn't be enough pages in the world to incorporate it all. Keith, just this week, Facebook announced that it was removing official campaign ads from the committee to reelect President Donald Trump. Official campaign ads from the committee to reelect the sitting president because they represented organized hate. You know, so that's how long, in 10 years, the line has been redrawn. Now, anything the president says is not only racist and Nazi and xenophobic and all of these other things. It's actually organized hate to the extent that it will get banned from Facebook.
Well, who's the real president of the United States? Donald Trump or Mark Zuckerberg? You know, this is what's happening. Basically, they are so fearless now, Jewish power and influence, that they have dropped any pretense of being in the background. They're coming right out here and showing you who runs America, who runs the media, who runs the government, who runs the schools. That's what's going on. And look, there's no reason why we have to submit meekly to that type of dictatorial power.
Well, Donald Trump is meeting in Tulsa tonight. One of our listeners wrote, "The political cesspool is broadcasting during the same time as Donald Trump's rally. I guarantee it'll be better than the Trump rally." But Donald Trump, you know, I have seen article after article this week criticizing the people who are going to be in that arena tonight in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for not practicing social distancing. How many, Keith, how many articles have you read about the anarchists, the terrorists, the looters, the destroyers of civilization, and all of these rallies we have seen of theirs, have we heard the media lament their lack of social distancing?
In other words, black radicals and white liberals, well, you know, it's just like George Orwell said in Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. They're seeing no criticism whatsoever of the protesters, and on the other hand, with a straight face, they come out as if there's some principle that you're not supposed to get together in crowds that applies to a Trump rally only.
Hey, is it just me, Keith, or did tonight's show with Jesse Lee Peterson and Brett McAtee go by a little bit more quickly than
I mean,
most?
It just flew.
Well, we got 30 minutes left, so we're not done yet, but wow, we're turning
the
corner.
Got the cherry to put on top now next.
Stay tuned, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As some protesters are calling for defunding police departments in the wake of the in-custody death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Vice President Mike Pence says that's not the way to go.
What happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis was a disgrace. It shocked the conscience of the nation. But what this president did was sit down with law enforcement, sit down with African American leaders, and listen and find ways that, look, we can improve public safety. We can give law enforcement more tools and to more training opportunities in the use of force, but we're not going to defund the police.
A surge in coronavirus cases is now prompting Houston to increase safety measures. Harris County Judge Linda Hidalgo.
The idea is to see this as a no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn Root, Mr. Health, and I want all of my millions of fans to be healthy and live a long life so we can save America, American exceptionalism, and capitalism. So, are you in front of a mirror? Did you know that in 1973, a Harvard doctor discovered the greatest single risk factor indicator for heart disease is a crease in one or both earlobes? Strauss Heart Drops has sold more than 1 million bottles over the past 40 years, helping countless people with cholesterol, diabetes, angina, and blocked or restricted blood flow. The best proven indicator of clogged arteries is the earlobe crease. Nature's sign of trouble with plaque buildup. Do you have a crease in one or both earlobes? Heart attack and stroke are our number one killers. Women now suffer 51% of heart attacks. Strauss Heart Drops don't interfere with any prescription drugs. Strauss Naturals guarantees your satisfaction so you can't go wrong. It's the painless, natural, economical way to clear arteries, vessels, veins, and capillaries. And guess who has the crease in both ears? Yours truly. And guess who's now taking Strauss Heart Drops? Wayne Allyn Root. Order Strauss Heart Drops at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Thepowermall.com.
A Latino man was shot and killed by a Los Angeles County deputy. Eyewitness 7 TV reporter Leanne Suter has the story.
My parents are completely destroyed.
Friends, family, and community members, you can see behind me here, are gathering for a vigil here near the scene where the 18-year-old was killed. They are demanding justice in a shooting that they say was completely unjustified.
I didn't even get to say goodbye to him. And it hurts me so much. I don't understand why they did this to him.
A heartbroken family demanding answers and an independent investigation after 18-year-old Andres Guardado was shot and killed by L.A. County Sheriff's deputies last night.
Why would a deputy shoot him 7 times behind his back? What a cowardly move is that? He couldn't even see the person that was going to shoot him.
Tensions erupting overnight after the deadly gunfire rang out in Gardena.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a great song. And what an appropriate song for Jack Ryan, who is back in
USSR. Soviet Union has reemerged as the current American government.
Boy, and you know, he went to South Africa earlier this year to get away from election year America. And boy, when he had to come back, or when he eventually got back, when he was eventually able to come home, he went from the frying pan into the fire, riots and looting and insurrection, and man, oh man, and in Chicago, are you kidding me? Jack, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay, but I'm not exactly sure what country I'm in. I'm not in Keith Alexander's 1950s, early 60s, Ozzy and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver type world. I'm back, but I like that song very much, and it's a song, it's by a very obscure English pop group. Kind of a one-hit wonder. I think their name was something like the Bedbugs or something like. No, Beatles. But anyway, I like the song. But yeah, no, I'm back. And if you have some street protests and people are getting angry and people are saying you should go back to Africa, I'm gonna say like, yeah, I'd love to go back to Africa. I was having a great time. Africans.
Did they use you as alligator bait, like we were talking about at the University of Florida?
Really nice, and they were being the Africans were being much nicer to me than the African Americans in Atlanta and Chicago. And I met so many nice people, so many good looking, beautiful women were just being nice to me. And I just have these property and lawyers and responsibilities to come back to. So I came back. I'm here trying to make the best of it. I'm right in the middle of riots and looting and elections, and you know, so I'm back. You know, say hello to my fans, but I'm back.
Hey, well, listen, they're happy to have you back. I know you were actually back week before last, which was your, I guess, first week back since returning from Africa about a month ago. You were there for most of the year until just about a month ago. And anyway, like I said, Jack, you came back home and America was set ablaze by the practitioners of tolerance and diversity. I mean, they value everything but diversity.
Flower children did it again.
They don't value diversity of opinion and they don't value rule of law. And wow, to see how law enforcement has capitulated to the extent that they're just ceding American cities to these thugs.
Well, it's the mayors that are doing that and the city council.
Well, I mean, the cops are still obeying those orders. But in any event, Jack, what's up in Chicago tonight? What's your message for the audience this evening?
Okay, well, my message is that things are bad, but they're not unexpected. Okay, so this is a presidential election year. Our elections seem like they go forever. It's like permanent revolution, like Trotsky put one. But in election year, you're going to see these people causing trouble, trying to get attention. And so these things wrapping them up. And then also think that these things go in cycles every 100 years, every 50 years. So 100 years ago, my grandfather, Russian grandfather, was in Russia, and the communist anarchists were coming in, causing troubles, taking down patriotic statues. And my grandfather, he served in the White Army to fight the Bolsheviks. We lost. And then he came over. And then 50 years later, that was the 67, 68, and 70. I was a small boy, but I remember it then. And it was the Civil War.
The days of rage.
Anarchist, yeah, days of rage. And I just remembered how repulsive those Ayers and Abby Hoffman, and I was fighting as a 7-year-old. I'm gonna tell you a story, but like every day I had to get up and argue with these University of Chicago students about the Vietnam War and things like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for the bus, and there's a newsstand, and the newsstand there's a sign that said, "Notice that we don't sell Playboy or Penthouse magazine to minors." And so I'm looking at that, and okay, I'm a good Christian boy, and I know that Playboy was not a good Christian magazine, and Penthouse is even worse. But I thought they were talking about coal miners, and that they wouldn't sell these magazines to coal miners in our area. And I thought about it for a while, and I thought it seemed really unfair that if these were bad,
they're a dirty group,
single out coal miners, because there probably weren't that many coal miners in the area. And I just, the more injustice I felt about that, I just made a vow: if any of these students or my teachers put down the coal miners, I'd argue and I'd fight with them. I didn't mean that they should be allowed to buy these magazines, but anyway. So anyway, my facts weren't right. I was a little bit off, but the principle is good: is that we should stand up for our working people, coal miners, and things like that. But we don't want them to corrupt. And so anyway, that was just a story that I did. It was 50 years ago. I was fighting then. I'm fighting now. But it's horrible, but it's not unexpected. Okay. So it's not something I never thought that this could happen in the United States. No, it happens like there. So just toughen up, deal with it, and we'll get through it.
Well, Jack, what do you make of all these protests? Is this what's the big picture? Have they got something besides just venting on their mind? Is there a reason why it has come by at this particular time and place?
Well, it's because it's an election year, and it's about power. It's about identity politics, different groups, black, homosexuals. They're pushing to try to see that they're getting power. They're looking around for some event. Almost all of these racial hate crime ones are complete hoaxes. It does look like the Minnesota police one does look like the police abuse the guy when they're doing, but the victim was a terrible person. He was a career criminal. He was using drugs in his system. He was violently resisting arrest, but it does look like the police officer did abuse the guy. So there's some issue, but they're looking for.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How would you have handled a 6'6", 250-pound guy that was resisting arrest? I don't know how I would have done it.
Well, and two, Jack, you know, I mean, right. Obviously, it can be debated, but that guy was on drugs. That guy was a career criminal.
I agree.
That guy did resist arrest, and if he hadn't resisted arrest, there wouldn't have been an accident. I obviously don't think that the cop meant to kill him, and I think with regard to the drug abuse that George Floyd was on, and the circumstances in that moment, I am not so sure he doesn't get exonerated in a decent, honest court.
I agree. No, I agree with everything that you said, but I mean, there are issues, and a lot of this, we have racial reality, so we can't be these things like, oh, race doesn't matter. So if a black police officer was trying to arrest this guy and was risking arrest and did these things, we wouldn't have riots and things like that. So I would say in the roughest ghetto with drug addicts and stuff, you got to be careful, and our white police officers, a lot of them, they should move away or to deal with it. So,
Well, I think that's what they want.
Well, we talked about this, Jack and Keith, with Jim Lancia, former retired police officer in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He worked some of the worst projects in America during the height of the crack epidemic. We talked to Jim a couple of weeks ago about what it was like to be a beat cop in those neighborhoods.
I think that's the end game on this, or one of the end games. They want to end white policemen in these diverse areas. So consequently, if you live in Chicago, all you're going to have is
black
cops.
Well, that's a great question, Jack.
Right.
So this is something that has gone from just theory to something that's actually getting pushed forward in places like Minneapolis. They're going to abolish the police. Abolish the police. How does that work in a city like Chicago? What happens if the police are non-existent?
Well, there's idiot leftists and stuff. But I grew up around the Nation of Islam there, and they say a lot of hateful, stupid things, but they will do basic education and police. And so if you do Nation of Islam security, they will do security and they will rough up drug dealers and stuff. And no one cares. No one's going to riot if some Nation of Islam guy roughs up a drug dealer.
But without white police, they're going to start roughing up white people.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're not, like they never have roughed up right. You look at the videos, we see all kinds of terrible.
Oh, yeah. You're right about, hey, Jack, you're right about that. I have seen in recent days countless, terrible. On a daily basis, numerous instances, whites on a bus, whites in a department store, whites walking down the sidewalk, just getting absolutely harassed, even killed, attacked or killed. By blacks in cities that have active police forces.
I'm seeing it. It's terrible. But I don't want our listeners to overload on negativity. So don't watch snuff films where old white people are getting beat up and killed and stuff like that. Yeah, it's terrible.
Watch the old movies that I like Ozzie and Harriet.
Yeah, I got some old movies. I got some, what's the one of Audie Murphy? The one he's a decorated World War II
to
guy.
To Hell and Back.
They've got a one.
To Hell and Back, plus he made a whole series of Westerns in the
50s. Hey, listen, next time Jack comes down here, yeah. you and him can go to town on those VHS, that VHS library you got, Keith.
Back in time.
Hey, hold on there, brother Jack. We'll be right back with you after the next segment. Everybody excited when Jack gets on. Everybody talking all over each other. But anyway, that's the way we do it here at TPC. We're not like most radio shows where you do things.
Why be normal, like Alfred E. Newman said, right?
We'll be right back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no more.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are
hers and his.
Harry's company too.
Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
Leave a lovable space that needs your face. Harry's company too.
I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. For some reason, at the end of a show, when Jack joins us, I just feel like it's Three's Company here on TPC. And Keith, I got a question for you.
Who's Mr. Furley?
Well, hey, Keith, if you could spend the night with one of the cast members of that program, would it be Suzanne Summers or Joyce DeWitt or John Ritter?
I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment on that one.
Well, no, I mean, you know, you can answer now. You're a single
man. Well, Suzanne Summers, I
guess. Oh, you know, I remember watching that. It was after my time, but I still remember watching that. I always liked John Ritter as an actor.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked was Don Knotts as Mr. Furley, a beta male trying to be an alpha male. That way, he was hilarious. He was always good at that.
You remember that one, Jack?
Yeah, I remember the show, but the actor, John Ritter, I think his father was a cowboy western actor.
Tex Ritter. He was a country music fan. Country music star.
And John Ritter just dropped dead way before his time, quite a while, you know, a decade ago, more than that. You know, heart attack, I think, just died.
Probably more like 30 years.
No, it wasn't that long. In fact, you know, we need to find out about that before we move forward, because this is an important, this is a really
inquiring minds want to know.
I did like John Ritter. He died 2003. Yeah, so almost 20, well, before the show started anyway. Anyway, but it is Three's Company anytime. Is yours truly, Keith Alexander the Great and Jack Ryan. Jack, we were talking right before the show started, which seems like about 5 minutes ago. It was about 3 hours, but we were talking then right before we had to get to Jesse Lee Peterson, and you were talking about some of the things we can do. Now, we can't encourage whites to go out and behave as the rabble behaves, because there will be selective law enforcement. We talked about this earlier in the program tonight.
Right.
You will find out that not all cops stand down. The laws will be enforced.
There's a fine difference between a protected and a non-protected minority.
If you think you can do what you're seeing on TV, don't try it.
Don't try it at home.
So, what can whites do, Jack, in these uncertain times to, number one, maintain their mental sanity and also be a part of something.
And stand up for the white race.
While we wait for the balkanization to occur.
Well, they are. Well, my advice is to pick your shots. Know where you are. And, you know, don't live off the media one. But you don't think you can take on the entire corrupt world, you know, by yourself. That's not practical. It's not good. But you can, in your own area, do little ones. So I tried to find, and then this book, I didn't do my book recommendations, but I really like the book, Rules for Radicals, for Saul Alinsky, where he looks about tactics to do. And his tactics work. And that's the problem with our people. We're too conservative. We do tactics that just don't work. And so one of the main principles of Rules for Radicals is personalize the conflict. You try to find an adversary, an enemy who is your enemy, who's doing things against him, and you identify him and you start to fight them.
You get a living, breathing human being and go after him.
Yeah, it is. So too many like conservatives, they say, oh, these corporations are funding Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and Apple Computers and Walmart gave $100 million to them, and that's horrible, and these corporations are bad. But my view is like, no, there's some specific guy at Walmart that gave $100 million to these Black Lives Associates. And that guy is the CEO of Walmart. I think his name is
And here's where he lives.
McMillan. Yeah, and this is where he lives. And he makes $24 million a year in personal compensation. He pays American workers crap. He's outsourced the pharmaceutical manufacturing of all of the pharmaceuticals of Walmart to communist China. And this guy is getting out on TV with President Trump and making a big PR thing that he's giving $100 million to Black Lives Matter. And he's not this one, and he's not paying any price for this stuff. So if nationalists in Israel, if some guy tried to do stuff like that, they would identify him. It wasn't mean necessarily they would kill him or use one, but they would identify him as an enemy and they would mess with him. They would find out where he lives. They would find homeless migrants and stuff. Say, hey, come! This guy's got a mansion, a castle with 27 rooms. Go live there for free. So those are the kind.
They put him into early retirement.
Yeah, you could just say, like, in his castle in Arkansas, and you'd say, well, where does he play golf? Where does his children go to public private schools and stuff? And you could see the nationalists in Sweden and Denmark and Norway, they find an enemy, and they'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they'll go right by that person's house and blast loud Islamic prayers or something like that. You could go out to this guy or the CEO of Chick-fil-A that's bootlicking and stuff and just blast rap music or something on that. So it's I like to try to say, like, our side is too much. We say there are these impersonal forces that are there and we can't do anything about it. No, there's real people. There are real enemies, real traitors. So I concentrate on a couple of guys. One guy I really dislike is Mitt Romney. This guy, he was almost president of the United States, and he's doing Black Lives Matter. He's going out there. He's talking about that one, and he's got like five estates of all these ones. So I'm on his Facebook page. I'm getting in his face. This guy, I don't want to do religious things, but he's never had a beer or a cup of coffee. He's never been a fist fight. And you can get in the individual enemies. You don't have to kill them or shoot them with guns, but you can take a guy that's a traitor, and you can use Saul Alinsky techniques to embarrass him and humiliate him because he's prostituting himself to these Antifa.
Well, I would say this. Anything, you know, we want to be better than our enemies, of course, and we want to maintain the moral high ground, and that is important. There is importance
really
in that.
We also want to be effective.
Well, we want to be effective. We don't want to do anything. Listen, pick the battles you can win, and if – look – you don't want to be foolhardy. You don't want to go and do anything that is going to take you away from your families. You only want to engage if there is a reasonable chance of success. There is sense in any one person going out there and becoming a martyr that no one will remember. Now, to your point, Jack,
yeah.
I agree that there should be a nationwide shaming of these people who have gone over to the dark side.
Right.
And they should be called out, and they should be ridiculed on social media,
called out or laid to bear.
I don't care what you call it, but yes, it should be done. Now, we don't want to engage in the same tactics that Antifa does, this sick Jewish, you know, stuff that Alinsky did. But yes, they should be.
Well, we need to look at it.
They should be called out, and they should be shamed, and they should be brought back to the light.
You're making the decision for them if you do that, because if they came out with some conservative position, you know that the left would make their life a living hell.
We want to maintain European Christian integrity, but at the same time, Jack is right. These people should be shamed, and they should be called out because it is that same peer pressure. It is that same peer pressure, Jack, that has gotten them to behave the way they are behaving by and large.
And they're super rich. They've got easy lives and stuff. But in your own personal life, your own family members, you have to see that they're honorable and they don't betray us. And it's just like your daughter, if she's promiscuous, getting drunk, she's stupid. You got to discipline them and something like that. And I don't have a problem. But don't kill them like that. But if I see Mitt Romney's like in there, I'm calling him out. I'm challenging Beck.
Call him out. Yes, absolutely.
He's never been in a fist fight. He's never had a beer or a cup of coffee, and now he's getting on the knees. He's prostituting himself to Black Lives Matter. So I'm not going to kill him, but I could.
But even more practically, think about this. If Mr. Cathy, for example, at Chick-fil-A said, "I'm closing. I'm 100% against Black Lives Matter," that the left would make his life a living hell. And when we do nothing,
agree. He doesn't have to say that, but he can at least not kneel. He can at least not personally advocate for the dark side, for the side, you know, for the children of Satan. He does not have to prostitute himself like that.
He did do that.
Yeah.
Not being punished.
He could say nothing.
And we got to do something to let him know there's a prize for coming against us. Because there would certainly be a prize if he went against them.
Well, that's absolutely right, but he didn't have to say anything, and that's the key. He did not have to say anything.
He's not being punished, though. Like things like, and Saul Alinsky's things that his adversaries, he did, he didn't like guns and stuff, but one thing he did was, he had an enemy, I think it was Eastman Kodak, that was doing some stuff, and he got his people to eat a lot of beans and go to the concert and just sort of pass the gas.
You know, you could go into the Chick-fil-A.
I'd heard
you know,
that.
It is. I mean, was it? You know, he did, but it was okay. You know, was it a crime against? No one got killed or something like. But that, yeah. But no, that guy, man, he is prostituting himself to the worst Black Lives Matter Antifa. He has been a traitor to us, and plus, he's not sympathetic. He's a multi millionaire. He should be working for the good of our people, but he's
well.
Not.
Look at Jack. Look at Wendy's. Wendy's has been burned down in multiple states, and Wendy's is saying our voice would be nothing without Black culture.
Yeah, as they're pandering like crazy.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, people like Dan Cathy need to be shamed. We will shame them, but I'll be damned if his food don't taste good. That's the problem. Anyway, hey, for Jesse Lee Peterson. For Brett McAtee, Jack Ryan, and Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week, folks.
Okay. God bless everyone.
Hey, good night, everybody. God bless you.
Have a good one, Jack.
This was my book that I recommended by Jean Renoir. I didn't do the book recommendation. Camp of the Saints.
Camp of the Saints,
yeah,
folks.
He just
hey,
died
we're
recently.
Living, well, and we're living it. Yes, he did. To him, the kingdom of heaven. Good night, everybody.